Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning as we come together in this place to worship God, to remember our blessings, and to share together in a time of worship and fellowship. Lots of things are starting to happen here at the church as we gear up for fall. I'm not really sure we slowed down that much for summer, but it's going to get even more busy as we move into fall, so you'll want to make sure you read a bulletin, take it home with you, take it, put it on your fridge so you don't miss out on any of the excitement coming up. One of the things that is happening is not next Sunday on Labor Day, but the Sunday following on September 8th, we will be returning to our three service times at 8, 9:03, and 10:30. So you'll want to make note of that. If you come at 10, you'll either be really late or really early. So check your calendar. But the exciting thing is after the last service, there's going to be the Sweet Cow ice cream truck here because we're having ice cream social. That is good news, isn't it? I thought so. So come for ice cream on the 8th. Come for worship and stay for ice cream, but that'll be a fun thing happening. Next Sunday, we are going to receive new members. So if you have been thinking that it is time for you to join this church, feel free to let me know beforehand, or just if you feel so moved, next Sunday you can come forward and join the church. So you will find out more about that. Just feel free to know that next week we are having new members join the church. So please put that on your calendar if that intrigues you. I also want to let you know that after worship today, we are having a gathering to look at the Inclusivity Committee is going to share their work over the last 2 years, work that many of you have been involved with, and bring a statement to you. So that will happen and then right here in the sanctuary. So after worship, if you want to be a part of that, just stick around here. Trudy's up there, but she's coming down here. Trudy is coming to make an announcement on the behalf of the Intentional Faith Development Committee. Take your time, because that's far. If you've never been in the balcony, it's a journey to get up there. There's ramps and stairs and I don't know what all. Those of you in the balcony are adventure explorers. It's good to see you up there. Thank you, Trudy. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Happy end of August. So, as Pastor Stephanie said, my name is Trudy Geeky. Been a member here since maybe 20-some-odd years, and right now I'm helping out as chair of what we call the Intentional Faith Development Committee. We worked last month to think about, like, what could really add pizzazz to intentional faith development, but we didn't think of anything. Sorry. What we did think of is that Intentional Faith Development, IFD, is this committee that's just like what we used to call Christian education, kind of. It's the idea of how do we build community? How do we help people along their path to getting closer to Christ? What kind of fellowship opportunities, anything like that? That would be us. We want to help facilitate those. And so what we want to do is, and you'll see in the messenger this month, we've created an email address for you to use us as, as a facilitator, as a funnel, as a place to share your ideas. So if you know somebody and you think, wow, they've really read an interesting book about faith, about life in this world as a Christian, about whatever, Methodist church, this and that. And you think, well, we really ought to talk about that book in church. We really ought to have a class or a speech or Sunday school or a lunch or a soup or whatever. Email us and we can help you figure out, like, how do you get the word out? How do you make that really happen, that idea? Anyway, the email we have is ideasforspirit@gmail.com. There might be a blurb. For sure it's in the messenger next month. So watch for that, because your intentional faith group, your Christian education group, really just wants to help you realize the church and the community that you want. So that's my message.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing all the ideas that will bubble up from within this congregation. I know you are a group of people with a lot to say, a lot to think about, and a lot of great ideas. So track down Trudy or other members of that group to share those ideas. I invite you to stand to join in praise as we open our worship time.
worship His holy name. Sing your song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before you. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, all my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Years and they're forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your
I know that the Head for Home worked hard to learn that at my request, and thank you. I love that song, and I hope it becomes part of our rotation, because it's a beautiful praise song, isn't it? I want to invite you to take a moment to greet one another in the name of Christ. Tell somebody you're so glad they're here this morning, and I'd invite the kids to come forward for children's time.
Do we have any more kids who want to come on up for us? We've got some stuff to talk about up here, you guys. Do we have a good week? Our first full week of school. Are we tired? Yeah, I bet. It's been a long week, hasn't it? Well, look what I have, you guys. Look what I brought today. Come on up. You know what? I came into work today, and sitting on my desk was this brand new, I opened it, but brand new box of Scooby-Doo Fruit Snacks. I was so excited to see them. They were sitting on my desk. There's 20 whole pouches. They are Scooby-Doo. I didn't have to go and buy them. I didn't have to go and look for them. They were just given to me. I don't even know who gave them to me. They were just here. They're Scooby-Doo Fruit Snacks. What do you guys think of that? What do you think I should do with these fruit snacks? You think I should give them to you? Why should I give them to you, you think? Well, you know what? You say that, Zayden, and that actually reminds me of something. I think I will share these with you guys. What do you think? I think because there are 20, I don't think there's 20 of you up here, so I think I can give every one of you just one. Make sure everybody else has one. Here we go. Will you guys take one and pass those down? I will give you these fruit snacks because you know what they make me think of? These fruit snacks make me think of God. I wonder why. How do they make me think of God, you think? Because we're sharing them. Thank you, Annie. They are making me think of God because they were given to me without any reason. Does God only give us love on our birthdays? Does he only care about us when we're feeling sad? Does he only give us treats on our first day of school? No, God is there for us all of the time, right? All of the time. And he gives us things without any expectations in return. When God says, hey, I love you, does he expect you to say I love you back? No, God just gives you love. He just gives it to you. Pretty cool, huh? Well, so just like these, I just got these. And you know what? I could have kept these. I could have taken these home and ate 20 packs of fruit snacks all by myself. But guess what I did? I brought them here and shared them with you. Do you think God would like you guys to share his love with others too? Yeah, so just like these fruit snacks, when God gives you love, when God cares for you, when he gives you things like your family and your friends and all those important things to you, he wants you to share that with other people, right? He wants you to act loving and be kind and be friends to others. That's how we share all the fun stuff that God gives to us, right? We've been spending this whole month talking about blessings and how we are blessed and how we can bless others. This is one way we can bless others. All that awesome stuff you guys get, share, okay? On our playground today, we have bags. I'm calling these our blessing bags. That's what I call them because what I want you to do with them, they are kind of tiny. I want you to take them this week and think about all the stuff you're blessed with. You could think about your family. Maybe put a picture of your family in there. You could think about love. Maybe you can blow a kiss into your bag. You can think about friendship. Maybe put something one of your friends gave you in here or draw a picture of your friends. All of those things that you're blessed with, put in here. And then remember to take this bag out with you and share it with others. Can you do that? Okay, are you guys enjoying those fruit snacks? Think we can say a prayer while we enjoy our fruit snacks? Say a prayer with me. Say, hey, God, thank you for giving us so much. You give us love. You give us friendship. You give us our families. You give us this church. Help us to give back. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
I think that was wonderful, Larissa, to bring Scooby snacks to share with all of the children. She doesn't remember that we are all children of God. No, it's okay. We come to a time where we share our joys and concerns. One of my joys is the children and them enjoying their snacks, and my concern is for the rest of us that didn't get them, but that's okay. We're all right. Are there other prayers or joys and concerns you would share this morning? Barb is thankful for the home builders group that gathered yesterday for a wonderful brunch. Thank you for inviting us. And it was a good fellowship time and a time of coming together. So she gives thanks for that group. Other prayers.
My brother in Grand Rapids, Michigan was in the hospital for stomach surgery, and then he had a heart attack, and he's still in intensive care.
Carolyn's brother in Michigan went to the hospital for surgery, but he had a heart attack while he was there, and he's still in ICU. So prayers for your family and him as he heals.
Prayers for Andrea Samuels and her mother and their family. Andrea's mother went under an extremely risky surgery about 2 weeks ago. She has a very sensitive, her spine was fractured. She has two rods stabilizing her neck, and she's still in the ICU. And it's just been really trying for their entire family because she's down in Aurora and they're all having to take turns going down there and staying with her, and just prayers for them because I know it's really difficult.
Thank you. Pua's son will be home, and Andy's son will be home this Wednesday to be here to visit for a while, and traveling mercies to him.
My first Kids Hope kid is starting college tomorrow at CU.
Oh, goodness. Wonderful. That is amazing, isn't it, to see that achievement.
On the same arena. My joy is that I got my three-year-old grandson on Friday night. I didn't give him back till last night. The reason that I kept him for 24 hours is because of my concern. My daughter-in-law, Liza, is pregnant, and she's developing hyperemesis again. Mm-hmm. So she's super sick. She can't even keep water down. And my son, who works graveyard anyway, has started college classes again for his last year. So he's doing homework and work and all the childcare and trying to take care of Eliza and going to classes. So he's not sleeping. Please pray for Chris and Eliza and Gabe and that whole crazy situation.
Definitely. Let us take these concerns and joys to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning and we hear of joys, of gatherings, and of soon-to-be family reunions, and joys that we lift up. We also come this morning with concerns, the ones that you have heard for health and traveling, and those who we know need special prayer this day. We also know that sitting amongst us are other prayer concerns that are too deep to raise voice to, but we know you hear those prayers that are deep within our hearts. We lift more of those prayers to you in this time, in this moment of silence. This morning, God, we sang, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And in this day, in this time, it can be hard. It can be hard to raise our voice in praise. It can be hard to come to you. But remind us that that is what you ask of us. That just like Abraham, you bless us. You bless us so that we will be a blessing in your world. Give us your joy, your love, and your strength for times such as these, difficult times in our lives, in the world, in our church. We pray that you would be present in powerful ways, and that sometimes we remember that others need to feel you through us. Let us lend our voice, our hands, and our hearts in those places that you would direct us. Open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we would be aware of all that's happening around us and understanding our role in those places. It's difficult enough. Help us to remember that we are not alone, that you are with us. We remember that as we come together and pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we leave this time of prayer, I hope you will continue, though, to open your hearts, to open your minds to the presence of God as the ushers come forward to receive our gifts and our offerings. And Seraphim's coming. What a blessing you all are for us.
Thank you.
Gracious God, pour out your Spirit. We know that our blessings that we have received have come from you. Help us to use them wisely to make a difference in this world. Amen.
And please remain standing for our second congregational song, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descend of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my salvation, purchase of God, and with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Please join me for the spiritual meditation to be read in unison. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I'll be reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carolyn. Today is the fourth and last Sunday on the series of blessings, and what does it mean to be blessed? 4 weeks ago, we started with looking at the Beatitudes and understanding the first half of those to be more personal blessings and the second half to be more of a type of blessing that we share out into the world. Last week, when we did the backpack blessing, we talked about Jesus saying, "Let the children come unto me," and we talked about children throughout this world and how we might use our voices to make a difference for them. And today we're going to turn to the Old Testament a little bit to understand maybe some of the roots of the idea of blessing. But before we do that, I want to tell you something fun. My niece, my only niece, got engaged a couple days ago, so that was exciting news for our family. She is 28 and had been almost engaged to another man a few years ago, so, you know, you kind of start to root for her at this stage of her life, and she's very excited to be getting married. We don't know yet the date or any of those things, but she's there and getting ready to get married, and we were all so excited for her. Praises and the congratulations just pouring in for her. And I started to think about that. And I started to think about that in relation to today's scripture. About blessings, yes, but this is really a lot more than just blessings. This scripture today takes us to a deep root of blessing and of the story. Now, my niece's story with this young man didn't just start. They have been dating for a year and a half or so, so it's not just one of those quick things, although those certainly can happen, but this has been a long time planning. This has been one of those things that for out a year and a half she's been hoping. Her birthday was a month or so ago, and she called me and she said, "I'm going to get engaged tonight on my birthday. I just know it. He's taking me to a really fancy restaurant. I know I'm getting engaged. Aunt Steffi, I'm so happy." And the next day she posted on Facebook something about the lovely dinner, but no ring. And we all thought, uh-oh, here she goes again. It's going to be a rough one for her. So her story with this man started a while ago, and finally they got engaged. And in some ways, it sounds like she's thinking, I've done it, I've gotten engaged, that's the end of the story. I know her mother, she's my little sister, and there's going to be a wedding to plan. And it's going to be something else. I already know. It's going to have a lot of details to discuss. We'll go with details. A lot of planning and preparation. And they'll get to the wedding day, and it will be amazing, and it'll be emotional, and it'll be hard. And then there'll be the really hard part, the marriage. Any of you who are married know that that's the wedding's the easy stuff, isn't it? There's all kinds of things that will be thrown at this couple as they move forward in life. We don't know what those things will be, but we know that they'll face something, lots of somethings. From easy things like how you roll up the toothpaste tube, that can be hard, can it, to figure all those things out, to difficult things, like their children, maybe, or their careers, or moving, or their parents, or who knows what will come their way. But right now, they're just so happy to have made it to the engagement stage. And I keep thinking about Abraham in this story. And I keep thinking about how excited maybe he was throughout his story. But we all know what's coming next. Some of you are very familiar with his story. And some of you are familiar with the story of married life. Some of you have been married for a long time. Kevin and I have only been married for 6 years, so we still haven't figured out which way the toothpaste goes. I'll get there. You see, we'll talk about it later. No. Any advice, we'll take it. So how does this story have anything to do with Abram? What does my niece's engagement have to do with him? Well, you may have noticed if you read the scripture up on the screens, it said Abram. Did you see that? Did you notice that? It wasn't Abraham. There were letters missing. Michael did not make a typo. It really was Abram. That was his name at chapter 12 in Genesis. We don't actually hear about Abraham at all until chapter 11 in Genesis, where he is introduced to us and his lineage. You know, the Old Testament likes that. So-and-so begat, all those begats, and we have that for Abram, but that doesn't seem that exciting or important to me. But at 12, we start to hear how God is going to work in his life. This is sort of the engagement part of the story for them. They've had a relationship before, but here God is speaking to Abram. And he's not going to become Abraham all the way till chapter 15. And the reason he's Abram here is he and God are beginning the discussion of the new covenant that they're making. The covenant after the flood, the covenant after things have not gone very well in God's creation. So this is the beginning of it. And God says to Abram, go. Go from your father's house to a land I will show you, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That's the beginning of the promise that God is making. The promise of, let's start this time together, Abram. Let's figure out where we can go together. I will bless you, he says, so that you can be a blessing. I've seen that one, haven't you, on Pinterest and on bumper stickers and other places. Blessed to be a blessing. It looks nice in cross-stitch. It's a lovely sentiment, but what does it mean? And to hear God is telling Abram that, he's telling him, you will be blessed so you can be a blessing. And there wasn't Pinterest back then. You couldn't paint it on old barn wood. It just meant a lot more. But Abram's new at this, and he's not quite sure what it means. Now, we all know that in a few chapters, he's going to become Abraham, and God is going to promise him that all of the nations will be his, like the stars in the sky. Oh, that's powerful stuff. But right now, at this beginning stage, what does it mean? One of my favorite parts of this call of Abram is when God says, I will bless you, so you will be a blessing. Now, he doesn't say, after you go out and do good stuff, I will bless you. Do you notice the change? I will bless you. And because of that, you will go out and do good things. Now, this impacts us from this time forward. It's one of the arguments that people have had, that theologians have pondered about, that have been settled over time and time again. Do you have to do good things for God to bless you? And some people think that works help get you in, but no. In this passage, we learn just what we talk about all the time. You don't have to do good things to get God's grace or to be in the favor of God. You do good things because you are blessed by God. Do you see the difference? Doesn't matter. You already have God's blessing, church. Isn't that amazing? You already have God's blessing. How do you respond to that is the question. Not what are you going to do to get it, but God has blessed you. So what are you going to do with that blessing? Because you can't just sit around with it. It's too much. It's too great. It's bubbling up inside of you. And if you let that go, stand back, world. If you let God's blessings bubble up to be whatever it is God is putting on your heart, oh my, amazing and great things will happen. Amazing and great things will happen. One of the things that I was reading this week is Richard Rohr. Many of you have maybe read some of his books. He has a great one about what you should do with the second half of your life. If some of you are in what you think may be the second half of your life, you really should pay heed to this. And those of you who someday will be in the second half of your life, you can pay attention to this too. And those of you who think, oh, I don't think I have a half left, as I'm doing the math in my own mind, it doesn't matter. You have life left in the next moments, in the next weeks, months, or years, whatever your life may hold. So what Richard Rohr says, for those of us who know we're in the second half of our life, but everyone else too, that this blessing that God offers us isn't just for us. It's not individual. And the reason he says that as you get later in life that that's important to learn, he says at the beginning of your faith journey, you're learning to pray, to read scripture, to be in dialogue and conversation with each other. You're learning how to individually be blessed by God and to receive those blessings. But later you have to realize that you must act upon those blessings, that you must act on what God has given you. And he said there's several ways to do that, but he lists a few, and I want to share them with you. The first is, he said that you could be involved with creation stewardship, taking care of the earth in all kinds of different ways, whatever that may mean to you. Is it composting? That's certainly creation stewardship. Is it making sure that we here at the church don't use too much electricity, that we stay carbon neutral? That's creation stewardship. Planting plants that pollinators like, whatever it may be, taking care of creation. He said that's one of the ways that we together move forward to be a blessing. He also says that we should fight for peace, justice, and unity. Together, we should raise up and do those things. That might look like handing out water at the Unity March today. I hope so, because that's what I'm going to do. It might look like writing your Congress people or calling them to share your opinion on something. It might be joining together with people in this community to make a difference for the homeless population. It might be, I don't know, it could be all kinds of things though. And again, Rohr says that we as Christians can't be individualistic in our blessings anymore. We have to come together. And the last, he said that we have to raise our collective voice to make sure that the world knows that Christians believe in love of all, that we love everyone, period. No exceptions, everyone. And how do we share that as we know that we are blessed to be a blessing? How do we offer up that to the world, that love is love? This is just the beginning of the relationship, but can you see how it moves us forward all the way into the New Testament, into the time of Jesus, into Paul, definitely? Because Paul says that we are saved by grace. Grace is God's unconditional love for us. I love to tell people this, and my children, anyone who ever had me for confirmation will repeat this. God's grace, you can't earn it, and you can do nothing to get rid of it. But you are blessed by that. And from that blessing, you are to be a blessing in this world. The promise is so important because a promise isn't afterwards. I don't know if any of you think you could earn God's blessing in your life. Do you think you could be good enough, that you could work hard enough, that you could take care of the earth or raise your voice for unity and justice enough to earn God's blessing? Could you do that? You'd get tired trying, wouldn't you? But that's why it's so amazing that you don't have to. You don't have to work hard to earn that blessing. It's yours. It's just yours. And to be honest, I'm glad to know that. Because there are days when this preacher messes up. There are days when I don't work hard enough or I don't try hard enough and I really just don't care. Have you ever had that day? I see some heads nodding. Some days when you don't even know if you want to be a Christian because it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. On those days, I would not earn anything. Those days when the traffic is too busy because all the CU students moved in and I can't get where I need to be and someone told me don't go to Target. Well, I need to go to Target. Well, don't go, I've been told. I am not at my Christian best those days, personally or collectively. And I am so glad I don't have to be, that I don't have to be the perfect Christian. Aren't you glad? Because I don't think we can be. What we can do is try, and we can recognize God's blessing in our lives and be a blessing together from that joy that bubbles up. I don't know for sure how we're gonna do that as Mountain View United Methodist Church, but I'm excited together to work with all of you as we move forward in ministry, because I keep hearing exciting things from you all. I keep hearing all the things that you're doing. And did you know that there are people in this church that are stealth? They are hiding the good stuff they do. Well, they're not really hiding it, but you might not know about it. It's amazing the good things that are happening around this place and how exciting it will be as we discover and join together in those exciting things. My niece has a long few months ahead of her as she plans this wedding, and she'll be exhausted at the end of her big day. But what's going to happen after that? That marriage, that time that will be a blessing in her life. How do we equate that kind of time with our own time as Christians, going all the way back to Abram, when God said, "I will bless you," period. Nothing else. How does that story unmove and unfold? If you're curious, you can Google it. Or you can know and remember things you've learned throughout your Christian life. But what I want to encourage you in the days ahead and the weeks ahead as we move forward as church, to be the best Christian you can be on a given day, even if it's not very good some days, but to be a good Christian who remembers that God blesses us and asks us to bless the world because of that. I think it's going to be fun to figure out ways to be blessings, to forgive each other our bad days, but come together on our good days and really make a difference, so that when we say, "I'm blessed to be a blessing," we know what that means. It's not just a cute slogan. It means that I am blessed by God, and because of those blessings God has given me, I am willing to make a difference in the world. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able to join in our closing song. go from this place blessed to be a blessing, but fully understanding what that means. Go in peace. Amen.
We are.